Hi, good evening. I'm going to be reading out of Psalms chapter 89. It's been mentioned about different women that have gone out of this church that were maybe looking for a husband that was going to go to the mission field or had that desire in them, or that their husband had already been praying about it for a long time. I was neither of those. First of all, I really never had like a burning desire to be a missionary, honestly, because my parents were missionaries when I was a little girl in South America, in Colombia, South America. And I was young, five-ish, and I just remember being scared a lot because we had somebody break in our house through my bedroom window and somebody cut the watch off my mom's arm at a stoplight. You know, just little things that kids kind of freak out about. So I never, like, I was, you know, my sister Debbie Kincaid was had definitely had more of that vision, that desire. And then I married my husband in 1992. And in 1993, there was a mission conference. And before that, he was speaking to me about how difficult he couldn't even imagine standing up in an open meeting. He couldn't even imagine he could never do that. He admired so many people that did it, but that wasn't going to be his thing. And I was just thankful that he had gotten saved, that I had gotten right, and that we were starting our journey together in the Lord. And then that year in 93, a year after we were married, the mission conference started on a Sunday, and around Wednesday, we both had jobs working, all that, and then he just mentioned to me in bed one night, I think God wants me to go to Mexico. And of course, by then he had been sharing in the meetings a little bit and doing visiting and things like that. And I kind of freaked out again. That five-year-old freaked out girl kind of popped up in my mind. But I just, something in me, the Lord, I think, just gave to me a spirit of don't get in the way. You know, just don't get in the way.
Right.
You know, it might not be me. It might not be the vision that he has, might not be my own at this moment, but I didn't want to get in the way. And I'm thankful for that, that God gave me that. And I praise the Lord because Mexico is home to me. It truly is. I never thought it would be, but God has been good. And I thank the Lord for a husband that has been faithful, that has been solid, solid for many people in Mexico. But he's been my solid ground apart from the Lord. In Psalm chapter 89, just something that the Lord has been dealing with me about in this psalm, I wanted to share it with you. It might seem a little strange to try to, a missionary trying to talk about getting a vision, but a lot of times I do lose my vision of the condition of a lost soul and what it truly is. So many times we're dealing with ministering to those who've already been saved, and that becomes so much of the labor, and that in itself obviously is tiring, and there's ups and downs. But the vision of what is a lost soul is their condition truly. In Psalm 89, starting in verse 15, get my glasses on. It says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." Just thinking about that joyful sound, I believe that for us in this day, the joyful sound is the sound Jesus saves, the message of salvation. And thinking of this phrase, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, it automatically creates a separation. There's obviously another group that doesn't know the joyful sound. It creates two groups of people. And I'm thankful, I mentioned in an open meeting this week, how grateful I am for God's mercy that I was raised in a Christian home. And I didn't just hear a small note of that sound my whole life. or just hear about. There's some sound out there that people are talking about. I knew, and I know today the sound personally. And anyone that's saved, that is a born-again believer, we know that joyful sound. And I just want to look at a few of the benefits from being that blessed people who know the joyful sound. The first benefit from knowing that joyful sound is in verse 15. It says, "They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." Now, I'm a person who likes contrast and comparison. It's a great blessing to me to consider that. And thinking about this benefit from knowing the joyful sound of salvation is that I can walk in the light of God's countenance, in his presence. Yet those who don't know the joyful sound, first of all, they're not a blessed people at the moment. Their state, their condition is they're under condemnation. And they're not benefiting because they're actually at great risk. And they're hindered by not knowing. And as far as being and walking in the light of God's countenance, they're actually the opposite. They're stumbling in the darkness of the absence of God in their life. Verse 16 says, "In thy name shall they rejoice all the day," those that know the joyful sound, that have that personal relationship with Christ. I possess the source of true rejoicing, endless rejoicing. It says all the day. All my lifetime, I have no reason to not rejoice because I've known salvation personally. It says, thy name, the name of Jesus, just hearing his name and thinking on his name, those who know him, it stirs your heart. So many things come to mind, so many emotions, so much thanksgiving and rejoicing just automatically comes when you hear his name. Like Song of Solomon says, thy name is as ointment poured forth. We know his name is the ointment for a weary, wounded soul. But yet the person who does not know, that people that does not know the joyful sound, they are trying substitutes for the true source of rejoicing. They're indifferent or maybe even angry at the mention of the name of Jesus, which the Bible explains us in Corinthians that obviously it's a normal reaction. The natural man can't perceive somebody magnifying the name of Jesus. They consider that foolishness. Verse 16, the second part says, in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Wow, that to me is salvation too. It's just salvation. His righteousness is what exalts me. His righteousness is what made me a daughter of God. Now are we the sons of God. And it's because of Jesus Christ, the righteous one. But that people who knoweth not, who do not know the joyful sound, they're unknowingly under condemnation for they're seeking their own righteousness, usually, which, as the brother said today, God views as filthy rags. In verse 17, the second part, it says, in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. While his righteousness exalts me. Sorry, I already said that one. Verse 17, it says, for thou art the glory of their strength. I'm strong only when I'm relying and glorying in Christ Jesus and his strength. It says that he's the glory of my strength. It's a beautiful thing to behold somebody strong in the Lord. But those who don't know the joyful sound are bound to and can only rely on, like the Bible says, the weak and beggarly elements of this world. The second part, I'm sorry, verse 17, it says, in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Those who know the joyful sound are powerful, even victorious in a battle, in a spiritual battle. We can have victory, but only because of Christ's favor, his character, his exalting of our weakness. But there's also a battle going on within those that don't know the joyful sound. They're in a battle, they're striving, exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. The Bible describes them as those that oppose themselves. There's a strife going on within those that don't know the joyful sound. And lastly, in verse 18, the Lord is our defense and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Praise the Lord, brethren, that those who know the joyful sound, we have a defender. Amen. We have somebody who is right there with us, walking with us and defending us against the wiles of the devil. And he's our God, he's our Lord, he's our King. And yet those that don't know the joyful sound, they're actually taken captive by somebody else, by the devil. It says that they have him, he has them at his will, taken captive at his will, in his snares, whether it be false religion, sin, men's philosophies. And I just wanted to consider the condition of these people, the other people. And truly, there really is only one distinction between humans, it's those that are saved and those who are lost. And those glorious life-changing benefits for those who know the joyful sound of salvation are eternal. They're everlasting. They're something so precious that I so many times take for granted. Psalm 116 verse 12 says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" So there is that second group of people, those who do not know the joyful sound. There's no light. There's no source of joy in Jesus' name. There's no sustaining or uplifting righteousness in themselves. And there's no divine strength or defense. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12, it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." And then verse 13 says at the beginning, "Which things also we speak." What shall I render? What shall I render for having that benefit of knowing the joyful sound? Well, I have to speak those things that were freely given to me, that somebody else spoke to me. Somebody else took the time to speak them to me. And I just want to encourage you to speak those things, to be aware of that second group of people. Yes, praise the Lord for this joyful sound that I've heard and that has guided me, that has been just an enormous blessing. Like it said, blessed are the people. The hymn, Jesus Saves, I just wanted to read a few of the lines that are so challenging. It starts out with, "We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, amen." But then the entire rest of the hymn is about, okay, what do you do with that now? Just a few lines. "Spread the tidings all around, bear the news to every land, amen. Tell sinners far and wide, sing above the battle strife." There is strife. "Sing it softly through the gloom when the heart for mercy craves. Let the nations now rejoice. Shout salvation full and free. This our song of victory. May more nations and more sinners rejoice and also join in this song of victory. Jesus saves." Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Jesus saves.
Amen.